In our Bibles at Colossians chapter 3, and I'd like to read starting in verse 12, and we'll go through the end of the chapter. Let us keep before us these powerful truths as we consider our desire to be a useful vessel to the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, starting to verse 12, it says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." Let us go before the Lord and commit this time to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your most precious word. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit as He dwells with us to remind us of your truths, to interpret your word for us, to help us understand it. Lord, as we see this passage, as we consider these truths before us, please open the eyes of our understanding. Help us, Lord, this morning to listen. Listen with a humble heart, an open ear, ready to receive exactly what you have in store for us, and ready to do all that you are calling us to do with a submissive mind. Lord, may we just humble ourselves before you, Lord. Give me the words to say, I pray. Lord, as we go through this message, as your Holy Spirit proclaims these truths to our hearts, Lord, I pray you'd help me, help each of us to worship you as we listen, as I preach the word. Help us, Lord, to respond by being in awe of who you are. Guide us, Lord, we pray. Grant us the grace necessary to receive your word. We thank you and pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. As we're in our study called The Useful Vessel, I was, as I was preparing for this message, I was looking to possibly finish up today with this study and then start another one in 2 Sundays after Dr. Griffith is here next Sunday. And then as I was studying further, I figured we had 2 messages left, and now I don't know. Lord has a way, as I'm studying, as I just pray and ask, Lord, just, Lord, show me what your message is for us. What is your message for me? What do you want all of us to know? What is the passage? What is the message that we need to get and we need to put into practice? And so I try to just be as absolutely led of God as I can as I go through studying, and here we are. We're looking at one verse today. It's a hot button issue. So we just pray that God's grace would be sufficient as we just see what does the Bible say? And just trust the Lord for His truth to be clarified in our own minds. So as we've been going through, we've been studying, as I said, this study on the useful vessel. The top of your outline there, you see 2 Timothy 2:21, which is a verse that I've encouraged us to commit to memory. It says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." That is our desire, to be a vessel useful to the master, pleasing in his sight. And so as we've been going through, we looked at 2 Timothy chapter 2, and then we've come over to here to Colossians chapter 3. And we've looked at various aspects of it, and we've come to the point where we are seeking to understand the Christian's progression. We are to be progressing in Christ's likeness, to be as Christ. As a child of God, you are in Christ. Your position is in Christ, never to change. But there should be growth. There should be a progression to become like Jesus. And that is our progression, to be as Christ is. This takes place through the renewing of our mind, to being renewed in knowledge. Because the challenge, the problem that we have is we tend to think how the old man thinks, how our old unregenerate nature thought, and that is natural way of thinking. Before we were saved, everything, we were selfish. Our desire was only for self-pleasure. Our desire was geared towards pleasing our flesh. And so the longer we've been unbeliever, the longer the fleshly mindset is able to cause these ravines, these ruts to grow as we continually traverse and walk down that path. It grows deeper and deeper and deeper. And so the challenge is we need to stop following these paths of the old mindset and have our minds renewed and create ruts that are Christ-like ruts, if you will. Get stuck in a groove where you're thinking on Jesus, thinking the way Jesus thinks. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And so we need to have a new mindset. And how we progress to be like Jesus is the process of our mind being renewed in Christ's mindset, His way of thinking. So we see the Christian's progression is to be as Christ. We also see the Christian's practice is to imitate Christ. We need to be imitating Christ. The challenge for us every day is to look distinctly Christian. Look like a follower of Jesus. We profess to be a child of God. We profess to be a Christian. We are called to imitate Christ. Look like Jesus. In the last message, verses 12 through 14, we considered the peace of God. In order to have the peace of God, we must be faithfully receiving the Word of God. And when we faithfully receive the Word of God, it will result in our faithfully representing the name of Christ. So there's this beautiful process that we go through. We need to put on the peace of God. We need to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And we need to be representing the name of Christ Jesus effectively. There's a process we go through. And again, it's a renewal of our mind in knowledge, the knowledge of God's Word. And so today, we come to the remaining portion of this chapter. And the remaining of this chapter, it's all about relationships. So the practice of a useful vessel now, we must put on Christ in our relationships. Put on Christ in our relationships. So our goal in this study is to seek to be a useful vessel for the Master. In this message, we come to a very practical and very specific place which deals very specifically for each of us. Paul deals with wives, husbands, fathers, children, servants. He pretty much covers the basis that every single one of us, we live somewhere in here. And so in verses 18 through 21, we consider our usefulness in our home. Our usefulness in our home. Our home life. Just as a challenge for us daily is to look distinctly like Jesus, we need to look distinctly like Jesus in our homes. Do you look like Christ in your home? How can you be most effective and useful to Christ's work as a wife, as a husband, as a father, as a mother, as a child? How can you be most effective and most useful to the Master in the roles that God has placed you in? The key to our usefulness at home, at work, and at work is and in every area of our lives is to seek every day to intentionally put off the Antichrist qualities is found in verses 3, chapter 3, verses 5 to 9. We see those here. It says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, which is and covetousness, which is idolatry." Verse 8 says, "But now ye also put off these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another." In order for us to take steps in our progress to become as Jesus, we need to be daily putting off those things that are anti-Christ qualities. Those garments of the flesh that don't look anything like Jesus. And that happens through as our mind is renewed and we understand this is sin. God hates these qualities. I cannot do them and be in right fellowship with God. I cannot partake in covetousness and be in right fellowship with God. I cannot be angry and pleasing my flesh. I cannot be wrathful and have malice and blasphemous words coming out of my mouth. I cannot have filthy communication. I cannot be lying and expect that I have fellowship with God. Sin hurts my fellowship. I need to repent. I need to confess. Repent of that sin. Turn from it. Put it off. So that is a change of mindset. But then with this putting off the Antichrist qualities, we need to be intentionally putting on Christ-like qualities. Putting on Christ-like qualities, as we saw in verses 12 through 14. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, compassion, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, which is patience, forbearing one another, putting up with each other, forgiving one another. If any have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Then he says this, the capstone of Christ's likeness. And above all these things, put on charity, love, which is in the bond of perfectness. We need to be putting on. This is an intentional process to put off those things that are anti-Christ qualities and intentionally put on those things that are Christ-like qualities. Put off selfish attitudes which manifest themselves in covetousness, which is idolatry and the like. Put on the sacrificial attitudes of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forbearance, forgiveness, and especially love. Put those on, intentionally put those on. Without love, we will fail from the start. Let's keep this verse in mind. Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." This verse qualifies how we are able to be useful vessels at home and at work. We are to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus with an attitude of gratitude, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. It begins here if we have any hopes of seeing Christ's likeness within our roles, within home and at work. If we don't start here, we're doomed from the start. Keep this in mind. Homes are built on authority and submission. Biblical authority, biblical submission. The first authority is God Himself. If God is not the absolute authority in our home, we will have problems. We will have problems. We all must be submissive to Him based upon what He has commanded us to do from His Word.
When we fail in these areas of knowing that God is the final authority and we fail to submit to Him, we will fail in reaching the goal of a biblical family that God has intended for us. It begins with God. He is the authority. What does He say? What does God say? Let us submit to God. See, that hot button issue is submission, isn't it? Today's day and age, submission is one of those words that it's not politically correct to really talk about. We don't like that. I want us to look in Scripture. What does God say about submission? Submission is a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's something that every single one of us, we all must submit to God as the authority. Biblical submission is a wonderful reality. But let us understand, what does God say about it? He is the authority. Let us submit to Him. Let us submit to Him and what He says. So today, now, we're looking at verse 18. And verse 18 says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord." Husbands, don't tune me out. Don't tune out the Holy Spirit. Men, don't tune out the Holy Spirit. Unmarried women, don't tune out the Holy Spirit. There's a message for every single one of us, whether you think you're going to get married or not. There's a message here for all of us. The emphasis is going to be wives. But it doesn't negate anybody present. Listen. God is going to speak to you as He speaks directly to wives. The challenge for each one of us is, are you going to listen? Are you going to listen? Am I going to listen to what the Lord has in store for me to hear? Let us seek the Lord and what He has to say. So, letter A, the biblical role of the wife. The biblical role of the wife. This isn't what the world says about the wife. This isn't what the world says about how a wife should be a wife. This is what does the Bible say about the role of a wife. Rand Hummel, I like what he says here. He says, "A wife is a very special person. Most little girls dream of being a wife someday. The idea of becoming a wife seldom leaves the mind of a college girl. Being a wife presupposes that you are loved, needed, wanted, attractive, lovable, committed, and in love. A wife is very special. Her smile can lighten a heavy heart. She can warm a cold room just by walking through the doors. A wife is an unpredictable creature. She can remember a rose placed in her hand 25 years ago, but can't recall if she turned the stove off." It happens. It's not a bad thing. "She cries when she's happy and smiles when life's struggles make her sad. A pair of beautiful eyes that shine both faith and love, a best friend. This is a wife. A sweetheart through all the years of a man's life. A helpmeet when the load grows so heavy. A friend when all other friends have turned their heads away. When a man runs out of heart, a wife gives part of hers. She rekindles the spark of your dream. She can make her husband young again with just a sparkle in her eye. She is charm, love, hope, dreams, pleasure, laughter, and delight, all wrapped up in the most wonderful woman in the world, your wife." Men, how do you feel about your wife? How do you feel about your wife? Is she precious to you? Let's start at the right place. Let's start right. Not with preconceived wrong definitions of our wives. Let's consider our wives and seek to be a blessing to them. Proverbs, Solomon tells us in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22, he says, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord." Do you believe it? Do you believe, men? Husbands, do you believe that you have found a treasure? Have you found a treasure in your wife? Do you believe it? Do you live that way? If you haven't found, if you are living with the mindset that you don't have a treasure, let's work on that. And not to scare anybody away, but two Sundays from now, men, you're on the hot seat. Husbands, we are on the hot seat. Okay, so be very gracious in receiving this message to your wife that is also to you. Because she will be very gracious when you're on the hot seat. All right. The biblical role of the wife. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Number one, consider God's command. Consider God's command. The sister passage that we see here is found in Ephesians 5:22. Ephesians 5:22 says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord." Okay, that's very important that we understand we see this command for wives to submit yourselves to your own husbands. Both of them say that, but one says, "as it is fit in the Lord," and the other says, "as unto the Lord." Those are very important for us to understand. So the phrase, "submit yourselves," carries the idea to be under obedience. It's a military term with regards to referring to rank. Okay? Rank, order. All right? Biblical submission. Please understand this. And this is where we have gone wrong in our society. This is where we have gone wrong in the church, is when this is not understood. Biblical submission does not refer to equality. Biblical submission does not refer to equality, but hierarchy. Biblical submission, I'll repeat it again, it's not about whether or not a husband and wife are equals. The Bible makes it very clear. Husbands and wives, you are equal. Submission has nothing to do with your equality. It has everything to do with the hierarchy that God has put into place. Carries the idea of willingly placing yourself under. The command is for willing submission. Willing submission. Because it's hierarchy. God has set it up where there's order. But He doesn't. It's not about equality. Okay? Colossians chapter 3, verse 11. Specifically tells us where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Bottom line is, Christ has removed the divisions. In Jewish culture, a woman was looked down upon greatly. Christianity has brought a woman into equality with her husband, yet understanding that there needs to be submission. Biblical submission. Okay, husbands. With that being said, you are in a great position of responsibility. Don't force your wife to submit. Biblical submission is willing submission. Heard of a story where a husband and wife went to a conference where there was a preacher who was not preaching biblical submission. He was preaching dominating submission and forceful submission. And this husband took advantage of that and went home and laid down the law. And 2 weeks later, he was just beginning to see his wife out of one eye. The reality is, men, it's not about authoritative, it's not about dominance, it's about gracious, loving your wife. Let us understand that. Let us understand that. Husbands, don't force your wives to submit. That's not biblical submission. Keep in mind that the husband is to love his wife in word and deed, all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Thank God for your wife. And do all in word or deed. Do all to the name of Jesus Christ. Love your wife, men. Future husbands, love, understand, go into the marriage seeking to love her as Christ loves the church. Encourage her in biblical submission. This will transform the home life as love as you love her with an attitude of gratitude, seeking to honor your Master Jesus. Husbands, love your wife in honoring Christ. Watch how she will respond as she willingly submits to your loving leadership. Are you a loving leader, Matt? Do you lovingly lead your wife? The way God has designed men and women is that this is the rule. There are exceptions. But the rule is that God wired a woman in such a way as when she's lovingly led, she will willingly respond in submission. That's the truth. That's the truth. Understand that. Biblical submission fights against pride. Pride demands one's own way while humility gives way. It does not demand its own rights. So as we see in Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. The command here to submit as unto the Lord is, or as service to the Lord. Wives, is it easy to submit to your husband? Is it always easy to submit? Well, he doesn't deserve it. He's not loving me and leading me. He's not leading. He's authoritative. He demands his own way. Wives, women, I know us guys, we're hard to handle sometimes. We are. Men, if you're honest with yourselves, you can echo that comment. But the call is, wives, submit to your husbands in serving God. The way you submit to your husband is a way in which you can serve God as unto the Lord. Wives, consider your submission to your husbands as a way in which you serve the Lord. What a privilege of service. This is the way God has wired you, wives. This is the way God has intended for you to live your lives, the role that He has given you. If it's God's desire for you to submit, it is right and it is best. Let us understand that. Keep in mind that the woman's submission is to be done in word and deed, just like the husband's loving leadership. The woman's submission is to be done in word and deed and all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God and the Father by Him. This will transform the home life as a wife submits with an attitude of gratitude, seeking to honor her Master Jesus. Are you submitting, wives, to your husband's leadership with an attitude of gratitude to God, seeking to honor the Lord Jesus Christ? Colossians 3:18 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. As it is fit in the Lord, this qualifies the kind of submission. It must be fit in the Lord. The phrase fit in the Lord can also be translated as is fitting to those who belong to the Lord. Is the way that you submit, wives, is it fitting as a disciple of Jesus? Is it fitting as a child of God? Or you could also say it as is your right and proper duty in the Lord. This is what Christ has called you to. Do you submit in such a way that it honors the Lord Jesus Christ? As a Christian wife, obedience to this command is very distinctly a Christian lifestyle, isn't it? Go outside of biblical Christian circles, and you are going to see all different kinds of non-biblical submission. Okay? A wife is not a doormat. A wife is not to be oppressed. A wife is to be nurtured and encouraged and loved. That is the way the Bible defines it. It is important to keep in mind before you, God wants what is best for you. Women, God wants what is best for you. Do you realize that? And if He calls you to submit to your husband,
then that is what is best for you. Husbands, He calls you to love your wife. That is what is best for you. Know it. Don't lose sight of it. Hold on to that. God calls you to do what is best for you and for His honor and glory. Biblical submission is God's defined way for a home to operate best. Do we believe it? If you believe it, you'll do it. So we see, consider God's command. Number one, consider God's design. What is God's design? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, it says, "But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over a man, but to be in silence, for Adam was first formed, then Eve." Now, we're not going to dissect this passage, but to simply say, Paul, the context that Paul's talking in is regarding women in the church. And he gives his rationale, his understanding, his reasoning for why women are not to be in places of authority within the church. Very simply, he says, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. He doesn't go into detail. Basically, what he's saying, this is God's design. God designed a hierarchy where He placed Adam to be the leader of His wife. That's how God designed it. That's even before sin came into the world. That's God's design in context. So we see that this is women's role within the church, but it also overflows, and we understand this is women's role within the home. It's not a negative. Please don't look at it as a negative. It's an honorable thing. God is saying this to be true. It's for the best. Consider this, Genesis 3:16, "Unto the woman He said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception in sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children." And notice what He says here at the end. "And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." Yes, this is after sin came into the world. But God's command. God says, women, the way you will be wired from now on is that you are going to, your desire is going to be to your husband, and he's going to have rule over you. God's word. Consider 1 Corinthians 11:3. It says, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ." So men, who's your leader? Who are you to be submissive to? Christ. What does that mean? You do what He says. He says, love your wife as I love the church and gave myself for it. Okay? So no pompous, no pride, no arrogance here. No demeaning, no lacking grace to the wife. Don't encourage her. Because you need to be submissive to Christ. He is your head. He is my head. He is my leader. And it says the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. All right, and we'll come back to this verse. According to God's plan, the husband is the head of the home. The wife is not to dominate or lead at home, but is to follow leadership of her husband as is fit in the Lord. Now, we all understand and we all know of homes where there seems to be lacking leadership of male leadership within a home. It may be that way in your house. Wives, what do you do? Well, oftentimes what happens is a wife feels that, well, there's a lacking leadership. There needs to be leadership, so I'm going to step into that place. And God specifically says that's not to be. The husband is to be the head of the home. And you're to be submissive to him. What do we do then in those situations? Well, in homes where there's this lack of leadership from the husband, a wise and godly woman will seek to foster and encourage him to lead. A wise and godly woman will seek to foster and encourage him to lead. As difficult as these situations may be, God desires to use a godly woman to draw her husband into submission to Himself. Please, I don't understand how challenging those situations are. But understand what God wants. He wants what is best. And He wants women, if you're in those situations, He wants you to understand that the best way is His way. Foster and encourage His leadership. 1 Peter 3:1 says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word," so the husband doesn't obey the word, "that they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives," the lifestyle. The goal there, you see, the goal there is that a godly woman in submission to God will be fostering her husband's leadership within the home by living before him. Her conversation, that speaks of her lifestyle. It says, without the word, so not preaching at him, "Hey, you're supposed to lead, you're supposed to lead, you're supposed to lead, you're supposed to lead, you're supposed to lead." Sound like a parrot. God says, no. Without the word, live before him. And watch how that indirectly will bring him to the point of submitting to Christ and leading the home from a biblical perspective. God's way works. Let's give him the opportunity. Problems have arisen within the home because we have taken submission to unbiblical ends. When we define submission in terms of equality, we will draw unbiblical conclusions, such as women being inferior and having a lower status. Women have been treated as doormats, which is contrary to Scripture. Problems arise when we don't do things God's way. Problems arise when we don't do things God's way. God wants what is best for you. God wants what is best for you. Don't forget it. His way is best. So consider, we see the command of God, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands." We see God's design. Number three, consider the honor. Wait, there's honor in submission? Yes. There's honor in submission. What does God see as most valuable? Well, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 gives us a really wonderful picture, gives us a really wonderful illustration. Helps us to see what God is speaking about here. But in 1 Peter chapter 3, we see these words. I read the first verse, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives." Verse 2 says, "While they behold your chaste conversation," your chaste lifestyle, coupled with fear of God, if you will. Verse 3 says, "Whose adorning," talking about the women, "your adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and wearing of gold and putting on of apparel." What is Peter saying here? He's saying, what you look like, what you are known for, shouldn't be how you're dressed. Your most important quality about you that people see shouldn't be your external beauty. That's what he's saying here. Whose adorning, whose clothing, whose appearance, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold, jewelry, braiding the hair, getting all done up beautifully. And I'm not opposed to women looking beautiful. But Peter's saying that shouldn't be your most obvious quality. That shouldn't be what people see first in you, if you will, or what they know you for. But verse 4 says, "But let it be the hidden man of the heart." Your heart should be what people know you for. "The hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God." What? How does God look upon a woman whose heart is meek and quiet and gentle? How does God look upon that heart? How does God look upon that woman? It's in the sight of God a great price. Very valuable. Incredibly expensive. That is more expensive and valuable in the sight of God than a 10-carat ring. Does it exist? Does it matter? It's more valuable than all the treasure in the world.
A woman who has a meek and quiet spirit. A woman who is gentle and loving and honoring God. That's everything. That's what's most important. Because that doesn't go away. That lasts.
Verses 5 and 6. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves. They adorned themselves in the same way. But notice it goes on to say that they adorned themselves being in subjection to their own husbands. So women, holy women, as the Bible calls them, holy women, adorned themselves with this meek and gentle spirit, this meek and quiet spirit, in subjection to their husbands, submitting to their husbands. Do you see the picture there? God is saying, this is beautiful. I love this. This is awesome, if you will. It's awe-inspiring. When a woman is adorned, is seen as a submissive wife, biblically, with a meek and quiet spirit. God says that is great. Highly valuable. And He gives us an illustration. He gives us an example. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Sarah. Do we see the honor that God gives to women who biblically submit? This isn't a negative, ladies. Men. This is not a negative, men. This isn't something that we should be demanding. It's something that we should be encouraging because God honors it. God loves it. Wives, don't see this as a negative. See this as a positive. See this as something that truly honors the Lord. Praise God for this. Husbands, are you giving her honor? Are you honoring your wife? Do you honor her? Do you elevate her? Do you give her put her on a pedestal? Do you love her? Do you see your wife as God sees her, as one who has a great price, who is of great value? Do you see your wife that way? No? Do you? Let me see verse 7. Guys, here we are. Likewise, based on everything that you just saw, likewise, men, keep that all in mind. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Likewise, husbands, keep all this in mind. Dwell with them according to knowledge. He's saying, get to know your wife and keep on getting to know her. That is one of the hardest things that I have ever tried to do. And I have failed miserably. Kara, forgive me. I try and then I forget. I try and then I forget. You have to work at it. And men, oftentimes, don't we get too busy to keep on getting to know our wives more? Don't we? It's a struggle, but you got to work at it. Good things, you got to work for. Are you willing to honor your wife and keep on getting to know her? Because if you haven't realized, she is growing and changing. She's maturing, probably faster than us. Okay? Catch up. Get to know her. Love her. Intellectually, keep on understanding who she is. And I say that knowing that I am not the greatest example for this because I do not know my wife as I should. I need to know her better. And I can say that every day until I die. I need to keep on getting to know her better. Are you encouraging her to submit, to follow your leadership? Encouraging, loving her to do that. Consider this. A commentator wrote these words. He says, wives, like tender and sensitive flowers, may wilt under the authoritarian dominance, but blossom with tender loving care.
So in a maturing marriage, the husband exercises compassionate care and his wife responds in willing submission to his loving leadership. Husbands, if your wife is not biblically submitting to you, chances are you're a big part of the problem. It's hard to hear, isn't it? But if we want to foster biblical submission, we need to be implementing godly leadership, loving leadership. All right. In 1 Peter 5, chapter 5, verse 5, we read this in Sunday school this morning. It says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble." There's a correlation between submission and humility. If we want to enjoy the grace of God in helping in submission, we need to be humble. God gives grace to those who are clothed with humility. Those who refuse, they demand their own way. And God resists them. So finally, number 4, consider Christ's example. What is Christ's example? Ladies, men, it's always important for us to look at the example that Christ sets before us. Now, how is Christ a submissive wife? He wasn't. So what do we do with it? How can we imitate Christ? Ladies, as wives, how can you imitate Christ if He was never a wife? Does He understand what you go through? Well, consider what Jesus did. Consider Christ's submission. John 6:38. Consider Christ's example. In John 6:38, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me." Jesus willingly submitted to the Father. The principle of submission is also based upon the order within the Godhead as Christ willingly submits to the Father. We've already read this verse, but consider the end of the verse. 1 Corinthians 11:3, "But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Shema, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." In the Hebrew, how that's grammatically made up. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord Jehovah our God is one Elohim." That "I am" ending is a plural form of the Godhead. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord Jehovah is one triune God." There's equality within the Godhead. Yet there's submission within the Godhead. See that? It's a great example for us. Jesus, God the Son, willingly submitted Himself to the Father. It doesn't negate their equality. They are one God. But there's a hierarchy. There's a willing submission that Jesus willingly submitted to the Father. And all throughout the New Testament, all throughout the Gospels, Jesus is always speaking about the Father. He came to do the will of the Father. "Not my own will, but thine be done." In the garden, he prays, "Lord, take this cup from me, but let it pass from me, but not as I will, but as thou wilt." Christ Jesus, if anybody, is the greatest example of submission for a wife to her husband, it's Jesus. As he submitted to the Father. What an amazing reality as we see there. We'll consider Christ being subject to his parents. Luke 2:51, "And he went down with them." Jesus, after they found him in the temple talking with the scribes and Pharisees, the religious leaders, as a young boy, he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. This is God the Son who placed himself, submitted himself under the authority of mom and dad, people that he created. If he can do that, well, he's God. No, don't negate the fact that he was still 100% man. And he submitted himself to the Father. He submitted himself to his not even his biological father, his adopted father, Joseph, and submitted himself to his mom. Imperfect, sinless souls, Joseph and Mary, they were not perfect. Jesus submitted himself to them. Great example. So let me encourage you that God gives grace to those who humbly submit to his perfect way. Again, 1 Peter 5:5-7. Let's understand this. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. That is our God. And two questions in closing. Wives. Wives. Are you willingly submitting to your husband's leadership before the Lord? Are you willingly submitting yourself to your husband's leadership? Remember, it's your service to God. Husbands, your attention, please. Husbands, men, future husbands, are you encouraging your wife to submit by leading her in a loving way? Challenge lays before us. Challenge lays before us. It's a great challenge, isn't it? It's a difficult challenge. The challenge is, are you willing to do things God's way, wives, future wives? Are you willing to do things God's way, husbands? I trust that as we go from here, the Holy Spirit is bringing conviction upon us where we need conviction. If you're not submitting the way you should, seek the Lord. Ask Him to help you. He gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. Men, are you not loving your wife as you should? Guess what? God gives grace to the humble. All of us, humble yourself there under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time. Cast all your care upon Him, because He truly cares for you. He wants what is best for you. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, the challenge is great that lays before us. It is challenging, especially in those situations where a husband does not seek to live a godly life and does not want to lead biblically. Lord, please give these dear women the grace necessary to encourage biblical leadership. Encourage them to come to you, Lord, and submit to you. Lord, help them. I know that you will give them the grace as they submit to you. Lord, as we consider homes where there is a loving husband and seeking to lead the house in a godly way, it still is not easy to submit. Lord, help these wives. Help these dear and precious ladies to understand what you are calling them to do. May they learn to willingly submit. Lord, for our husbands, for men, help us to be leaders to follow after and submit to. Help us, Lord, give us the grace needed so that we would lovingly lead. You are great and greatly to be praised, and we want to honor you in everything we do and say. So, Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.